dear listener, those present here, and those listening over the listening over the internet near and far, I would like to ask you, young or old one, regardless of your life situation, where is it good for you to be? When have you experienced feelings of fortune and joy? Has it been in everyday life at home, when you have been encouraged to endeavor in faith and believe that sins are forgiven? Or in the midst of trials and illness, when you have experienced God's guidance? What about at services, small or large, when God has spoken to you? Our topic brings us to these questions. Lord, it is good for us to be here. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 17, it says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain apart from the others. And as they watched him, he was transfigured, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elias also appeared in the same place, and they were having a discussion with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground on their faces in great fear. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God revealed Jesus and assured the disciples that Jesus was his beloved Son, whom he had sent, and whom they should listen to. This was a powerful experience for the disciples, like a preview of heaven. They experienced great joy in the company of the revealed Savior. Peter said this, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." We too may experience our own Mount of Transfiguration feelings in moments of joy and happiness, moments when it is good and safe to be. We feel a joy that cannot be understood by reason, but which comes as a gift of faith through the Holy Spirit. It is telling or moving to see how just moments before these good feelings, Peter had normal human thoughts when he rebuked Jesus for not having to suffer. Jesus reminded Peter of his or duplicity when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." We too walk in such a duality. we experience the joy of believing. And at the same time, we carry our old portion and fall into sin. Joy and happiness arising from faith. Hearing God's word is an important resource for faith. Have you been able to ask the Heavenly Father to open His word just for you? It's amazing how God speaks to an individual listener personally. God opens His word through the servants of the word. Even if there are thousands of listeners at the same time, He can still speak and open His word to an individual listener. This cannot be understood with reason, but God, as the administrator of all things and all-knowing, knows what the listener needs at any given time. When God's word touches your own heart and provides answers to the things that you are considering in your mind, you can experience the great joy of faith in God's care. As people, we are different. For some, it is easy to be where there are many people. Then they feel it is easy to believe. However, it is important to note that there are also sisters and brothers for whom large crowds can cause anxiety and fear. They find events with many people difficult or even impossible to attend. It is important for everyone to think about how they, through their own actions, can encourage and walk alongside others so that the threshold for those who experience timidness to join services or participate in functions is lowered. We can pray that the Heavenly Father would give those in the midst of these fears escorts and companions so that they may experience the joy of believing together and God's guidance. God takes care of us all. Even in lonely places, we may experience God's great protection. In the midst of the home congregation, it is as if we are cared for by a mother. There is an unchanging teaching in the kingdom of God. Sinners are called to repentance. Forgiveness of sins is preached so that already in this time we can feel peace, freedom, and joy, and one day enter the heavenly home. Faith lives through the power of God. God has given us His strength for the journey. The freedom of faith brings security, joy, and happiness. The believer gets to experience the great peace given by the Holy Spirit, the peace that this world cannot give. Our faith is not based on feelings, and we do not believe through feelings. However, it is important that we also notice God's guidance in everyday life. The joy of faith in everyday life. We have probably all experienced very everyday situations where we have met a travel companion, for example, in a store aisle, or we have discussed everyday matters on the phone and been blessed with the gospel. These wonderful moments are situations where heaven touches earth. Years ago, I was traveling on a train for work, and we were sitting in the restaurant car having coffee. The phone rang and it was a dear brother. I answered and said that I couldn't really talk because I was on the train. and I asked if I could call back when I had reached my destination. The brother said, "You don't have to talk much. Can you listen for a moment?" He continued talking about the way and the journey. The burden had accumulated. Then he asked, "May I believe all my sins forgiven?" In that full restaurant car, I stammered, "Dear brother, believe all sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus." And I asked, "May I believe too?" It seemed that the whole car fell silent to listen to our conversation. How great the feeling of joy and happiness can be in these situations. The words of Jesus come true. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Bible tells a very moving story about the life of Joseph. Joseph experienced joy in life, even though if we think from a human perspective, he experienced great injustice. How did he manage to trust God's guidance while awaiting his fate in an empty well or in a prison in a foreign land? The Bible tells us that Joseph was happy because God was with him. In the midst of everyday life, we experience joy and happiness from God's guidance. Even as a weak believer, it is comforting to hear, to see how the faith of the heart guides life. We constantly make choices, often without realizing it. Faith guides us to act with a clear conscience and to do our work as if to God. We experience joy and gratitude for God's blessing. God's blessing is often perceived as happiness and goodness, but it is above all God's guidance in everyday life. In the midst of my own limitations, I have found comfort in being able to pray for strength and skill in making life's choices. We have received more than we have known to ask for. God also blesses temporarily, but prosperity can be a test of faith. We easily forget that all good things come from God and imagine that we can manage on our own. In the midst of success and achievements, there is a danger that they become the most important things to the heart. Temporal happiness and the joys of this world can fill our thoughts so that the gift of faith loses its meaning and trust in God is forgotten. In this way, temporal goodness can become a great test of faith into which we easily fall. The joy of believing is often found in childlike simplicity in everyday life, the ability to sincerely rejoice in small things. Busyness and materialism can obscure the meaning of faith, but in the midst of scarcity and difficulty, the gift of faith can feel especially valuable and bring deep joy. Temporal goodness is a gift from God, but when faith remains the greatest treasure of the heart, temporal good also remains in its rightful place. Temporal scarcity can also test faith when trust in God's care falters. In the midst of a large family, the question of livelihood may arise, and a single person may wonder whether his or her life will also be blessed. In all situations, however, we can trust that God guides and provides for everyone's life. God's greatest blessing is that we remain his children and one day reach the glory of heaven. This is our greatest happiness, joy, and refuge. Our everyday lives are very busy and filled with responsibilities and activities. For this reason, it's good to stop and think about where our time is really spent, and whether our use of time reflects the most important thing in life, faith. During summer services, it's evident. But in everyday life at home, its importance can easily fade into the background. Dear listener, I don't want to burden or compare, but the joy of believing comes when there is room and time in everyday life for matters of faith and connection with other believers. This is not a demand, but a reminder. We need moments where we can hear the comforting message of God's kingdom, a place where we can freely ask and discuss questions related to faith. Moses' actions are an example of how important the kingdom of God is. Despite his weakness, he wanted to be obedient to God's call. When the people had fallen into sin, Moses prayed so deeply for them that he was willing to be without salvation himself for their sake. This illustrates his love for God's people. The power of faith carries us through trials. In Psalm 480 or 440, Jesus, oh, remember me. It describes the great power of faith, its security and comfort in the midst of trial and illness. We sing it as an introduction to this topic. Song number 480. Job received temporal blessings and prosperity many more times than he had lost, and was able to keep his most precious treasure, the gift of faith. There are many trials and tribulations in life. We cannot compare them, and we do not know what each one carries within. There are financial and health challenges, sorrows and worries. We often ask in the midst of trials, why did God allow this trial? We don't always know the answer, and we don't understand God's purpose. We also carry worries and sorrows within us that we do not want to or cannot share publicly. We can pray that God would give us reliable companions in such situations, to whom we could tell even difficult things in confidence. In these conversations, we can experience the great joy of believing. At the same time, we recognize the importance of professional help. It should not be ignored. It is right and sometimes even necessary to get professional help. But can we talk about the joy and happiness of believing at the same time as we speak about trials? I dare to think that it is precisely in the midst of sorrow or illness that the importance of believing and the security brought by faith are the greatest resource. Dear listener, have you been on the sickbed of a believer? In the midst of illness, there is a lot of uncertainty, and it is not always known how to cope. Then the security and hope brought by faith are the only things that carry us. Years ago, I was taught by a dear friend in the midst of an illness from which recovery was uncertain. My friend stated, "I only have good options before me. Either I get better or I go to heaven." Can anyone but a believer experience such security and confidence and trust in such a situation? All our days are in the hands of our Heavenly Father. In my friend's case, eternal joy was realized, which my friend was able to go partake in. I dare to share a personal experience. I have a congenital heart defect, and I think that as a gift at birth, the Heavenly Father has given me a heart that functions a little differently. From a faith perspective, I feel that when God created me, He saw fit to give me a heart that will remind me throughout my life of the precious gift of faith. At different stages of life, I have come to understand and remember that the thread of life is not in my own hands. Life is a great gift from God, and God takes care of me also every moment. Dear listener, if you are experiencing a trial brought on by illness, I want to encourage you. The Heavenly Father knows all your phases. You can trust that He will carry you every moment. We do not know the answers to many questions. However, we can be sure that our Heavenly Father knows and guides our lives, even in the midst of illness. He knew all our days when He created us. The Heavenly Father has given wisdom to doctors. There have also been situations where medicine has no longer been able to heal, but the Heavenly Father has miraculously helped. The days of this life were not yet fulfilled, and God's plan included things still to be done in this time. In the midst of illness, it is comforting to remember the gift of prayer. As we just sang, the hymn writer describes this beautifully. In my illness, night and day, to you, Jesus, now I pray. Help me in my tribulation, you who humbly suffered woe, bore the cross for me below. Jesus, oh, remember me. It is reassuring to trust that no matter what happens in a believer's life, there are only good options ahead. The will of the Heavenly Father is good. He only wants the best for us. Even in the most difficult moments, we can trust and ask. As the hymn writer said, Jesus, e'er remain with me. You alone are peace and safety, my good shepherd, lovingly. Ease my pain and misery. Lord of life, come light my pathway, though tomorrow is unknown. Gather me and bear me home. Jesus, e'er remain with me. This speech may also be, or presentation may also be listened to by a person who feels alone. Loneliness can be a painful and difficult ordeal. In the midst of loneliness, it can be difficult to find reasons for joy. It can be accompanied by feelings of difference and fears. God knows all of our matters, including our loneliness. We pray that the Heavenly Father would give us strength, and that we would see our lonely neighbor. Noticing another person, greeting them, and giving them a friendly look brings great joy. Perhaps we don't even realize how important these encounters are. We can trust that the Heavenly Father will provide a companion, a reliable friend. The death of a loved one is also a great trial. We feel sadness and longing. When the departed one carries the gift of faith in their heart, close ones have the hope of reunion. Grief is not inconsolable. It contains reasons for hope and joy. The part of the departed is the part of joy and jubilation when they have reached eternal joy. A statement by a believing parent to his children is illustrative. When you hear that my temporal journey has ended, do not leave the flag at half-mast, but raise it all the way up. That is my day of joy and victory. The security of faith. In the events on the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke to the disciples. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus' mission was to fulfill God's law and atone for all the sins of all people. The most important thing for a person is to become and remain a child of God. Without faith, it is impossible to become a child of God. It is important to note that knowledge of faith alone does not save a person. The opposite of faith is not reason or knowledge, but unbelief. Although this is difficult to put into words in a fully understandable way, it is comforting to remember that the example of faith is a child. A child's trust and hope are genuine. A child does not doubt, but believes and trusts. Like a child, we too can trust in the guidance and promises of our Heavenly Father. The law set by God cannot be fulfilled by man. We receive the gift of faith by grace, without our own works or merit, completely as a gift from God. We can rejoice in this gift every day, even in the midst of sorrows and trials. The gift of faith from God is durable and secure. God's promises do not change. As humans, we are weak, and the enemy of souls' only purpose is that we would tire of believing and would not be able to rejoice in our faith. In this task, the enemy of souls is skilled and cunning. We all fall into sin, and the life of faith is not all joy without difficulties for anyone. However, this is precisely where our joy lies. Through grace, we receive forgiveness of sins in the name and blood of Jesus. God's will is that we will one day reach the joy and jubilation of heaven. Even with weak and little faith, we will arrive there. As believers, we can be sure that God knows every step of our lives in advance. This brings us security. The future is in His hands, even if we do not fully understand it. We have a good God who created us and knows all our days. dear listener. I want to approach you who at the moment is not able to believe and does not see the joy of believing. Faith is a personal matter, and no one can be forced to believe. It is important to remember mutual respect when discussing matters of faith. Matters of faith cannot be justified by reason. The Holy Spirit opens the understanding of faith. It is said that through faith, we understand the matters of faith. All matters related to faith can only be based upon the Bible, and the Bible can only be interpreted according to the understanding opened by the Holy Spirit. As humans, we are all equally valuable. A child who has lost his childhood faith is still just as dear and important, a great gift to his parents. A child who has lost his faith is a child of prayers. As parents, we want to pray that God would reveal the importance of believing and the desire to believe. The parable of the prodigal son is very moving. When the one who denied his faith felt guilty and longed for his father's house, he timidly set out for home. The father came running and rejoicing to meet him. In the father's house, in the kingdom of God, a celebration of joy and happiness begins when one who was lost in the world is able to return home. Jesus said that the angels in heaven rejoice when one receives the grace of repentance. You too are waited for in the Father's house. And when God opens the gift of faith to you and you are able to believe, there is joy in heaven. God has promised to bless one who trusts in his word and walks in obedience of faith. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encourages us all. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Do you also want to return to rejoice in the gift of faith? You can believe all sins, including unbelief, forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Eternal joy in heaven. The greatest joy awaits us in heaven, and its magnitude cannot even be comprehended in this time. The Bible tells us that the feeling of the joy of heaven has not been given to man to comprehend. It is so immense. We can already rejoice in faith now, but the real goal of faith is the joy of heaven, to which we are on our way. When Jesus was asked what heaven was like, he said, "For in the resurrection they are as the angels of God in heaven." The joy of heaven is complete joy and jubilation. Then we will no longer experience these sorrows and worries that we have experienced here in this time. We will see things that we cannot even imagine. Have you ever admired the beauty of nature? The most beautiful sight here is only a glimpse of the beauty and brightness of heaven. We will soon sing about the joy and jubilation of heaven in the familiar hymn 618, joy in heaven, joy. The author of the hymn powerfully describes how all the glory and beauty opens up to us in the joy of heaven, something that our temporal eyes could not even bear to behold. As humans, we are incapable of understanding what eternity means. We are bound by time. We measure time. And we do not comprehend eternity. Compared to eternity, human life is at its longest like the width of a palm, and not even that. As a reward for faith, we will one day enjoy eternal joy and gladness. We can only get there by faith, and that is why faith is so important. God created us for heaven. You and I can get there by faith. You, dear listener of the word, who are hearing this here at home, or perhaps over the internet, or perhaps in a hospital, wherever you are, you can remain believing all your sins and doubts forgiven, even at this moment, in the name and blood of Jesus, to peace, freedom, and the joy of heaven. Dear brother and sister, I'm sure you can imagine how I have struggled in preparation for this presentation. My own sinfulness has weighed heavily on me. I have thought that could God really, through such a weak servant, be strengthening such a great gathering of, can I remain believing? I want to continue to believe and remain, you also, sister and brother, remain believing all of your sins, temptations, and doubts. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You have permission to believe all sins and doubts in Jesus' name and blood. Believe them. Forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It is safe to believe and rejoice in the gift of faith. It is worth believing. Even now we get to experience. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us close with this evening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all of the gifts that you have given us. We want to thank you for the gift of life, for our daily bread and everything that you have given us. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of faith and this kingdom where you care for and nourish us. You, Father, have nourished us even today with your word, and you have forgiven our sins. It is safe for us to be here. Father, we want to carry with our hearts those who are going through trials or illness. Strengthen them. Give them hope of the future, so that they could continue to trust in your guidance and mercy. Call once more, Father, those who are currently unable to believe, so that one day we'd all be able to reach heaven. We entrust ourselves to your watchful and protective care. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.